Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt who has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that joined to his death and resurrection, we enter into life with you. Through Jesus, the same Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. Done to you, Redeemer King. Oh, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of mercy and might, in the mystery of the passion of your Son, you offer your infinite life to the world. Gather us around the cross of Christ and preserve us until the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. Today is the first day of this most holy week, and we hope that you will join us for services on Maundy Thursday, a service of Holy Communion and foot washing, and then on Good Friday. Both services are at 7. And then we hope that you'll join us next Sunday for Easter. Our sunrise service will be out at the Columbarium at 7 in the morning. You'll come in and have a very hearty breakfast provided by the Lutheran Men in Mission. And then our traditional Easter service will be at 10:30. We hope that you will journey with us alongside of Jesus this week. Couple of announcements. Men's group is meeting tomorrow. And also, don't forget, if you have tickets to go to Patterson Farms for the silly event where you're going to do an egg hunt and all kinds of fun things, that is next Saturday. So if you have any questions, please see Anna. Next Sunday, we're going to be welcoming a few new members into our congregation, and we are delighted for that. And so please keep those who are joining us in prayer. For those of you that would like to fold your palm into a cross, if you'll come to the baptismal font area after worship, Tony is going to show all of you how to fold them into a cross. And because these are longer this year, it's really quite lovely. So if you'd like to fold your palm into a cross, meet Tony at the baptismal font after worship. Hunter Hedrick has an announcement. Come on forward, Hunter. The last couple of years, the proceeds from the Bluegill Bash have gone to the Lutheran Men in Mission, who have used that money to help send our confirmands to confirmation camp. So it's a wonderful cause. All right, we have three prayer shawls to bless this morning. This one is for Doris Wilson, who is the wife of Bonnie Hedrick's cousin, who recently died. So we're going to pray for Doris as she begins her grief journey. This is for Judy Yance. You've probably heard some of us talking about Judy, who is taking care of Keith, Herbert's brother. This is that same Judy, and she's got some pretty significant health concerns. So we're going to bless that for her. And this is for Julia Miller, who is a friend of Bonnie Hedrick's with some health issues. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us when we come to you. You hear the thoughts of our minds, the unspoken things in our hearts, as well as the words that come off our lips. We lift up to you this morning Julia and Judy, who both have health concerns, and ask that you would accompany them as they go to doctor appointments and have tests and navigate getting those answers and the treatments. And we ask that you would be with Doris as she begins the long and painful grief journey of losing her spouse. We ask that you bless these prayer shawls, that as these ladies feel the weight of these prayers upon them, that they would feel the weight of the love that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And last but not least, we have some birthdays. Debbie Frank has her birthday. When is the 28th? Is it the end of the week? Debbie Frank is having a birthday this week, as is Kim Troutman. And then Marie Palmer is remembering her baptism today. Nathan Baker tomorrow. Gaynell Davis this week, as well as Herbert Frank and Norris Feeney. Let us pray. Brantley, do you want to pray? No? Okay. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Hello, Georgia. Does it work now? Okay. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Maddie. I love your beautiful pigtails. So fun. Well, as you've probably already noticed, we started worship a little bit differently today than we usually do. We started by singing a song and waving palms. And that's because this is a really special day. And actually, this is the start of a really special week called Holy Week. So remember, this is our church calendar. And our church calendar is a little different than our other calendars because it doesn't go month by month. It goes by season. The church calendar it's got all the same days on it, but it's divided out by seasons because we're telling a different story. We're telling the story of Jesus and of God's love. So we went through Advent, right, getting ready for Christmas, and then we had the 12 days of Christmas. We had the 12 days of Christmas. And then we had the season after Epiphany, and we've been in Lent, but this week, starting today, Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week. And this week is probably the holiest and most special and sacred week in the whole church year, because it's the week that we all journey with Jesus toward the cross on Good Friday. On Maundy Thursday, the night before, he had his last supper with his disciples, and in that last supper, he told his disciples that this is my body given for you, and this is my blood shed for you, and he began the Holy Communion meal that we have every Sunday. And then we know that next Sunday is Easter, and that's really special, but before we can get to Easter Sunday, we walk with Jesus through Holy Week. And so I have some videos that I'm going to send out to your parents this week. One for today, Palm Sunday. And I have another one for Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday. And on each of those days, I'm just going to tell you a little Bible story and talk a little bit about why that day is special as we walk along with Jesus. So I just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Because Easter is coming, we just have a few more days that we need to get through to get there. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
Thank you for this special Palm Sunday.
And help us
to walk alongside you
during this Holy Week. We love you, God. Amen. All right, you may go with Kelly and Calvin to Children's Church.
The New Testament lesson is from the second chapter of Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life.
As we read this passion story, it is quite lengthy. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot with the people. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment out on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you can always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, why are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Immediately, while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. They laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and elders and scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then, after a little while, the bystanders once again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered what Jesus said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered them, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you?" But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat on him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. After they crucified him, and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come down and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Two ancient traditions anchor our worship this Sunday before Easter. We begin our service with celebratory palm branches on our hands and the words of praise upon our lips, welcoming Christ into this place and into our midst. we celebrate the truth that Jesus is here with us today, just like he was present with those in Jerusalem that Sunday all those years ago. The other ancient tradition we take part in today is listening to the gospel lesson that proclaims the entire narrative of Jesus' passion. It's the only Sunday in the whole year that we hear the lengthy account of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, torture, and death. These two traditions are as powerful as they are opposite. And yet, I think that at the heart, they capture what it is to be a disciple. One minute we are praising God, singing sweet hosannas, and the very next breath we are crying out, "Crucify him." When things are going well, we offer our praise and worship to God. And when things don't go well, and sometimes when things don't go the way we want them to, our praises cease, and we ourselves turn away from God. In recent decades, many churches have omitted the reading of the Passion on Palm Sunday. Because the truth about human nature is we want the celebration and the joy, but we don't want to have to sit with the pain and the hard emotions that come with Jesus' passion. We'd rather skip over Good Friday and go straight to Easter Sunday, going from the celebration of Palm Sunday to the celebration of Easter, as if none of the other days were there. We'd rather get caught up in Palm Sunday's parade and skip the painful parts of Holy Week. I think this is in part because in order to sit with the story of Jesus' passion, we are called not only to endure, not only to witness the pain of all that he endured, but that we are also called to acknowledge that we are the ones, like Judas, and like Peter, who betray and deny Jesus. That we, like the crowd, are disappointed and disillusioned with Jesus and all of the ways that he does not meet our expectations. And we turn on a dime, crying out Hosanna in one breath and crucify him in another. We have to acknowledge that we, like Peter, James, and John, when asked to remain with Jesus in his anguish, don't. And yet, even when we betray Christ, even when we turn on Christ, even when we don't remain with him in his anguish, Jesus never betrays us. Jesus never turns from us. Jesus never closes his eyes to our pain and anguish. He endured pain and suffering that we can't even begin to comprehend. And he is present with us, drawing near to us when we experience pain and suffering. The truth is that Jesus is faithful, even when we aren't. His love for us, his mercy, his faithfulness, it's not dependent on what we do or don't do. The love of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, is a gift beyond measure, a gift that calls us and beckons us to draw near to our merciful Savior. Brothers and sisters, this Holy Week, we are called and invited not to look away from all that Jesus endured, but instead we are invited to bear witness to it, to sit with the discomfort, to sit in the pain, to let the Holy Spirit convict us of all the ways that we betray and turn away from God. So this week, in these next 7 days, as we journey through Holy Week to the cross with Jesus, may we fulfill Jesus' request to Peter and James and John. May we remain with Jesus. May we stay awake. May we keep vigil with Jesus this holiest of weeks. Amen.
Trust and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day,
trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. Blessed One, today the Church sings glad hosannas as we enter Holy Week. Prepare us to bear witness to Christ's suffering and death endured for our sake. Gather your people around the cross and comfort us with resurrection hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renew your good creation and protect the balance of life on earth. Encourage the work of foresters, scientists, abortionists, gardeners, and river keepers. We pray for the health of pollinating insects, songbirds, and native plants. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Establish peace and justice among the nations, especially Gaza, the Congo, and Sudan. Hold to account any with authority to judge others. Grant that courts, legislators, and local governments will serve with integrity and compassion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bring to hope any who feel forsaken or forgotten. Make a way for refugees and asylum seekers. Reunite families enduring separation. We pray for any who are incarcerated, institutionalized, or in foster care, that they may know your love. We pray for all who are sick, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Joe, Neil, Mike, Anna, Jim, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Give energy and joy to our pastor, worship leaders, and musicians. Bless baptismal candidates, their sponsors, confirmants, and teachers. Watch over those who travel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Blessed One, our times are in your hand. Sustain us in discipleships throughout our lives, and receive us into everlasting life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Those praises soon will fade.
pray together. Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of this meal. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with this holy food, but with hunger for justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty and everlasting God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is bread for the journey, a feast for hungry hearts. Come.
Thank you.
Table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, accompany our Lenten journey. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Beloved children of God, we are God's own people, holy, washed, and renewed. God bless you and keep you, shower you with mercy, fill you with courage, and give you peace. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Amen.
Go in peace. Jesus walks with you. Thanks to God.